This should be the season for joy, but with the pandemic and political turmoil, many of us have been having a hard time feeling very grateful. Janice Kaplan is the author of the bestseller, The Gratitude Diaries, and host of the Gratitude Diaries hit podcast. Now she shares some ideas on how we can reflect on our gratitude in order to make ourselves happier this holiday season. In the podcast, which just launched this past June, Kaplan provides down-to-earth tips in these daily 5 to 7 minute doses about how to close what she calls the gratitude gap in order to make everything seem a little bit better. Episodes include the no complaining zone, one word to get happier, and the power of vitamin G, plus much, much more. It's a great pleasure to welcome Janice Kaplan to the roundtable this morning. Janice, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate having you here.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let us go back before we get into the goodies here. How did you come to this particular project and start thinking so much about gratitude?
Yeah, I had been the editor-in-chief of Parade magazine, and after I left there, a big foundation asked me to do a national survey on gratitude. It sounded like it was going to be a nice project, but then the results started coming in, and I was just fascinated by it and got really excited by the subject. You mentioned the gratitude gap, and that was one of the big findings that came in, which was that something like 90 or 95% of people said that grateful people are happier. And a very similar number, 90, 95% said that they were grateful for family and friends. But if asked if they expressed gratitude, the number plunged, and it was less than half. So we have a big gratitude gap where we know there's something that's going to make us happier, but we don't do it. And I decided at that point to challenge myself, because I realized I was as guilty of it as anyone else, and see what would happen if I tried to spend a year living more gratefully.
So let us begin, Janice, with a working definition that we can all understand, which is your definition of gratitude, of what gratitude is.
Gratitude to me is being able to be positive and appreciative of whatever events are occurring. It's being able to find the good in a situation and realizing that you have that control to do that. Gratitude doesn't mean that everything is perfect or that you're only looking for good and not recognizing the problems. It means that you're being able to see both sides and to appreciate the good things that do occur.
Why is that hard for so many of us?
It is very hard, isn't it? I think there are several reasons. You know, psychologists actually say that we may be wired to look for problems. If you think of our, you know, ancestors long, long ago, the hunter-gatherers, it was really important for them to know when there were things that were going wrong. It was really important for them to recognize what were the poisonous berries in the field that they should stay away from. And then they could tell all of their friends and neighbors what the problems were that could hurt them. And somehow we have been wired to continue doing that. Most of us don't have to worry about poisonous berries anymore. We get our very nice berries at the grocery store. But somehow that old wiring has lingered so that we still tend to look for the bad rather than the good. And the point of gratitude is to remind us to look for those tasty berries sometimes also.
Do we know it when we see it, or do we still have to really look for it?
I think often the secret of gratitude is reframing a situation. So generally there is good and bad in every situation. A lot of us think that gratitude makes you soft and sappy, you know, and that we're really just putting on rose-colored glasses to see things gratefully. But I don't think that's the case at all. I think that in any situation, there is good and bad, and that there's nothing more realistic about looking at the negative than there is about looking at the positive. And so if you can make yourself take that positive perspective and see the possibilities that allow you to move forward, you have some hope for the future, and you're then more able to deal with the problems that exist. You know, as you pointed out, We have a lot of problems going on right now. But if we dig ourselves into a hole where we say, life is terrible, it's never been this bad, we'll never emerge, then you're less likely to emerge. But if you allow yourself to see that little ray of positivity, it gives you reason and possibility to move forward.
So you mentioned this, but you oversaw a national survey on gratitude for the John Templeton Foundation. So give us an idea of some of the statistics from that study that really surprised you.
Well, there were a couple of things, one in work and one in personal lives, that particularly surprised me. We discovered that people are less likely to be grateful at the office or at work than almost any place else. And that's sort of too bad, because everybody knows that many of us spend more time at work than any place else. Only about 9% of people said that they expressed gratitude at the office. But what was really interesting was the flip side of that, which was that 81% of people said that they would work harder for a grateful boss. So I think bosses who think that they're going to get the most out of their people by being tough and never saying thank you and never appreciating them are really making a big mistake. They're making a big mistake for themselves, too. 90% of people said that they thought a grateful boss was more likely to be successful because people would rally around him or her, and nobody succeeds on their own. Another surprise I mentioned in the personal side was that people are not very good at expressing gratitude to their spouses and partners, to the people that they're supposed to love the most. We found that people are more likely to express gratitude to the barista at the coffee shop and the clerk at the grocery store than they are to their own spouse or partner. And I think recognizing that and realizing that, maybe that's not such a good idea, and maybe I would like to try to be more grateful at home where it also matters, is an important step.
How much of that is politeness and how much of that is really being grateful?
There is a big distinction between politeness and gratitude. And gratitude is much deeper and comes from a much more sincere place. And, you know, most of us will just say thank you when somebody helps us with something. But if you take that extra second, even with the person at the grocery store or clerk at the counter, and you actually stop and look at them and say, I really appreciate your helping me, or thanks for taking that extra moment to find that for me, I really appreciate it. Mm. People feel the difference, and they stop, and they respond to that. Many of us, research shows that people want to be appreciated, and one of the key motivators at work is being appreciated, whether by the people you're working for or the people who you're seeing out in public. So I think being able to turn that simple expression of, you know, that casual expression of thanks into a deeper appreciation really matters.
Janice Kaplan is our guest on the roundtable this morning. The name of the new book is The Gratitude Diaries, and also there is a podcast of that name as well. And you can find that wherever you find your really cool podcasts. It's The Gratitude Diaries. So you take it one step further after looking over this study and think of how you are going to go about a year of living gratefully. So what ground rules did you set in the beginning to make that possible?
Well, because I'm a journalist, I wanted it not just to be my year. I wanted everything I did to be supported by research. So every time I came up with something, I spoke to psychologists and neurologists and psychiatrists and Nobel Prize winners. I talked to other people. I talked to a lot of celebrities about gratitude and people in interesting positions. So my idea was to every month be grateful for something different. It started with my husband. He continued to work. And I looked at gratitude in health. I looked at gratitude in all sorts of different aspects of life and just tried to see what each of us could do to make things better. I challenged myself in all sorts of different ways. I came up with a gratitude diet. I tried gratitude to see how being outside and being exercising or being out about in the outdoors could make you more grateful. There are all sorts of ways when you open your mind to thinking about how you can appreciate the world around you and how you can make yourself happier. It's surprising how many different things you can find.
I was interested in the fact that you started with your marriage first. What did you want to do, and what had the most profound impact on the relationship?
Well, as we said, people don't stop appreciating their spouses. I have a terrific husband, but I've been married a really long time, and it's what psychologists call habituation. You get used to things and you stop noticing them. And so I decided that I was going to try to notice my husband again. And I describe in the book how I started it with the very beginning of my gratitude project. I hadn't even told him what I was doing yet. And we were driving one night. We arrived at our house in the country. And as we pulled up, I turned to him and I said, "Thank you for driving." And he said, "I always drive." And I said, "Yeah, I know you always drive, but it's dark and it's snowing and I don't like to drive. And thank you." And he didn't say much, and over the course of that weekend, I continued to thank him for little things that he probably always does, but that I had stopped noticing. And by the end of the weekend, he thanked me one night for cooking. And, you know, I always cook. He doesn't usually thank me for it. And at that point, I told him what I was doing and what the project was about. And I realized that in that simple weekend of just not criticizing and only looking for the good, things had started to change, and the feeling between us had started to change. And I think all of us know deep in our hearts that we can make our spouses feel better if we want to, by appreciating them. And something holds us back from doing that. And if you give it a try, I think you can be surprised just by what a big effect it has. And by the way, it's not just making the other person feel good. It makes you feel so much better.
That's one of the things I was, as you were giving that answer, I was wondering to myself as to what point you told your husband what you were doing, because I thought at the beginning, as you were explaining that, it sounds like you were just making a situation really awkward. So, I mean, there is a point where, because people aren't used to that. I'm just, "Oh, thank you for being great." You know, they're not used to it. And you wonder, like, well, now what do you want? So, but then once you're both doing it, then it's something, so it becomes meaningful. And it's not something that you have to do a number of times. It becomes meaningful so that when you do it, there is true power behind it.
Right. And I think it also is just noticing things. You know, that experience that I just described was several years ago, but yesterday, my husband went to the grocery store to pick up some things that I needed for dinner. I'm not usually good at asking people to help me out, but he said, "Hey, want me to pick up some things on the way home?" And I said, "Actually, that would be great." And when he got home, I said, instead of just unpacking the groceries, I actually turned to him and I said, "You know, thanks for doing that. I never asked you to, and that you thought of it really means a lot, and thanks." And it's no big deal, but it recognizes what somebody did. And you said it's awkward, and, you know, I have yet to hear somebody be unhappy that I've appreciated them. So, well, I do know what you mean. That,
not appreciation,
you're saying,
but you just
randomly. You know, yeah. You're saying things randomly and you're going overboard and it doesn't sound sincere. That's not good. But when you're just noticing something that happened, people like to be noticed and they like to be appreciated.
I can guarantee you that if I went home tonight and I said, "Honey, I just want to thank you for doing all that you did today," she would say to me, "Okay, what do you want?"
Well, here, I'm not a marriage counselor, but try to be more specific. Try to thank her for something very specific. How about if you say, "Boy, I know the kids were home from school today, and that must have been a crazy afternoon for you. Thanks for doing that when I was working." Maybe she'll be a little surprised and be glad that you noticed what she did.
Yeah, we're good. We're good at that. It's fun, but still, every once in a while, there's just that, "Oh, thank you. Okay, now what?" So let me ask you this question, because you write about this, which is, I think, interesting. And it's a good idea. You say, well, if you write one thing down every night that made you grateful, then your perspective changes on the day, because you're not just focusing on how things got screwed up. You're focusing on the positive. You're focusing on, this is what I'm grateful for today because whatever it is.
Right. And it doesn't have to be a fancy journal. You don't have to write an essay every night. You know, I always say put a scrap of paper next to your bed for a week and write down two words at night about what you were grateful for that day. And it helps because when you know you have that piece of paper by your bed, it starts putting you into that grateful mindset. So you wake up in the morning and it's a bright sunny day and you say, oh, I'm going to be grateful for sunshine. Done for the day. That's good. And that's okay because it's given you a positive perspective and that's going to linger. Or it's the end of the day and it's dinner time and you haven't been grateful for anything. You've had a miserable day and you remember that scrap of paper by your bed. And you think, okay, I'm grateful that we have this nice pasta for dinner tonight. Or I'm grateful that my kids are sitting here with me. You'll find something. You can always find something. And then that night when you're going to bed, you're going to get to relive it and write down that thing again. And it's just a way of reminding you until you're able to put yourself into a gratitude habit, just a way of reminding yourself in the course of the day to try to take that moment to think differently.
This is basically, I mean, a point to this is the old adage of stop and smell the roses, of getting to the point where you can enjoy not only reflecting on it at the end of the day on a scrap of paper, but also at the moment to say, oh, well, this is really nice. I'm very grateful that happened at this particular moment.
Right. We're much better at gratitude in the rearview mirror. You know, the Nobel laureate Daniel Kahneman has written about the experiencing self and the remembering self. And the experiencing self is the person having the experience right in this moment, you know, listening to us talking, doing whatever you're doing in the moment. The remembering self is the part of you that looks back on something. And the remembering self is much better at wiping out all the bad parts, you know, at forgetting that it rained for 3 days on the vacation and only remembering the 2 days that it was sunny and forgetting how unhappy you were as you were climbing the mountain and only remembering how beautiful it was when you got to the top. And if we can try to take some of that remembering self into our moment, into the experiences when they're happening, we can be a lot happier in the moment. It shouldn't only be in looking back that our brains are able to appreciate things, but as we're experiencing them, how much better that would be.
And when but there's also the adage of hindsight's 2020. We only have less than a minute, but hindsight being 2020. I mean, sometimes you look back and you think, oh wow, that vacation was lovely, and then when you start looking at the pictures, you realize, oh wow, no, it sucked. But I mean, we also can filter out the bad stuff too, can't we?
We can get through the bad stuff. And, you know, when it's a rainy day on your vacation, maybe you can be grateful that the family gets to sit around and play Scrabble because it's not always our expectations don't have to be met in order to be grateful and have things positive. Try to enjoy what you can do and what can be positive in that time.
Janice Kaplan is the author of the bestseller, The Gratitude Diary. She is also the host of the Gratitude Diaries podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Janice Kaplan, I thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you. A real pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Again, it's The Gratitude Diaries by Janice Kaplan. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.